Hey guys, Anna Victoria here, and I'm so excited for you to join me on my podcast, Your Best Life. I'm the CEO and founder of the Fitbody app, a fitness influencer, and a personal trainer. Every week, I'm going to have a special guest that will share their unique experience and unique story to share how they learned how to live their best life, even if they're still working on it, since we are all a work in progress. I can't wait to help you learn how to create your best life. Welcome back to another episode of Your Best Life with Anna Victoria and my partner in crime, Luca.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys. So today's guest is Don Saladino, who for over 20 years has coached actors, athletes, musicians, and business executives. In 2005, he opened his New York City gym, Drive 495. He has developed a reputation for training some of the biggest names in Hollywood for the big screen, like Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, Jake Gyllenhaal, John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Anne Hathaway, Hugh Jackman, just to name a few, and so many more are among his roster of clients who have trained with him at Drive 495. So Luca, what are you most excited to hear Don talk about?
I mean, you guys know I'm a very big superhero movie fan, so I like all superhero movies, and I've seen Don's name everywhere for years now. You know, he trains all the superheroes, and I'm just, you know, a very cool personality, great trainer, obviously, and he's been in the space for quite a while now. And yes, definitely looking forward to the conversation for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear. Honestly, I think that the celebrity part is super exciting. Like, who doesn't love to hear about that?
Right.
But there's a particular story. I'll wait to talk about it until we get into the conversation. But about a woman, you know, just a regular person that he helped lose over 500 pounds. And those are the stories that, like, just touch my heart and, like, make me so happy to see someone like Don in the space that, you know, is able to, you know, help people really change and save their lives. So, all right, guys, here is my conversation with Don Saladino. Hi, Don. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
And it's great to be on. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to start by sharing a bit about who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, really quickly. My name is Don Saladino. You know, I've been in the fitness space for about 21 years. About 15 years ago, I opened my first club, Drive 495. Opened another club after that, launched a digital platform about a decade ago. And I am the pure example of someone who's somewhat of a fitness entrepreneur, but has made a ton of mistakes throughout my fitness career, but has really learned from it. And I think I've done a pretty good job in building a pretty solid fitness business. So again, I'm happy to be here and psyched to get our conversation going.
So you said that you launched a digital platform like a decade ago. So you were really ahead of the curve.
Yeah. So I partnered up with some professional athletes, Adrian Peterson, who played for the Vikings, Dwayne Wade, who played for the Heat, and Hall of Fame golfer Ernie Els, and launched these three apps, best in class, kind of like an MTV Cribs based around their training, and went in. And I mean, the apps did exceptionally well out of the gate, but then we, you know, kind of wrote it down pretty hard because at that time, I think the space was still young and we didn't really know, you know, the level of engagement, which I think you've pretty much perfected with your social media and everything you've been doing. But I think it's really about engagement. And I think that was that was a perfect example of you can have the best athletes in their sport. It's not good enough. You need to be able to communicate with, you know, with the people who are coming to you.
Right. And so you do train athletes and celebrities. Mm-hmm. So well, first, let's back up. Let's talk about how did you get into the fitness space? Is this something that you grew up being interested in?
Yeah, it starts back to when I was in second grade because I had a terrible stuttering and hearing problem as a young kid. You know, it's one of those stories where thank God it happened to me. I mean, it's something where, that back then I used to come home crying to my mom every other day. And now I'm like, oh my God, thank God that happened to me, because it's kind of what put me on the path that I went on. But it was really pretty crazy because at that age, you know, I was struggling with that. And then I started playing a lot of baseball with my father, got really into it, knew physically I might have been a step above some of the other kids in my class. And it really gave me confidence. And I think I started really leaning on that as like my crutch. And it's what gave me, a high level of confidence. And it's what really put me in the direction I'm in today. But, you know, I went off to college, played Division I college baseball, thought I was going to go on to that next step. And then at a certain point in college, I realized that I started putting a little bit more emphasis into my fitness than my baseball. And I realized that and you understand better than anyone.
Yeah.
started seeing that my focuses started changing a bit, and then wanted to become a trainer. Didn't really know how much money they made, had no idea. My mom was a big motivating factor for me in that, but then went off into the city, got a job, worked at a big box gym for a year, and then I broke off, and I that's kind of when Don the Entrepreneur hopped in, where I started my own training business, and then, 5 years later, I was able to raise about $5 million to open up my first club in the city. Yeah, it was a big, huge project, and it did really well, which I was really proud of.
Yeah. Wow. And so then where did the celebrities and the athletes come into the mix?
It's so bizarre because, I was a personal trainer, but I was also a strength coach. So, I was someone that worked with people on general fitness, but I had this passion of working with athletes. And I was one of the first Titleist golf fitness certified instructors about 15, 16 years ago. And I got really kind of motivated to open a golf fitness training facility because my brother was a professional golfer. He was younger than me. And we were seeing a lot of success working with golfers. And then we came into the space around 2005, opened our club. I started working with, all these golfers, worked with a bunch of PGA guys, but we were up north. We were in New York, not down in Florida. But we started doing a lot of events. We had a liquor license. Our business really started growing in different directions. And then I got introduced to a guy by the name of Hugh Jackman. And he kind of came up to me one day and he's like, man, you got a physique. Like, I like how you're training. Like, would you help me out? And at the time I was like, no, I can't. And he's like, why? I'm like, no, you're working with someone that I know. And, I would never want to. He goes, no, I'm coming to you because my trainer's leaving. And the trainer happened to be a friend of mine. My buddy came up to me and said, hey, Don, listen, I'm moving. I'm having triplets. And I was like, oh, all right. Thank God. I was like, almost like relieved. And then I started working with Hugh. We worked together for a year. I got him ready for the movie Wolverine in Australia, which is awesome. It was a great experience. And it really was probably a true passion of mine, was blending the worlds of performance physique together. And then that just opened the floodgates for me. And I just started, back then social media wasn't even really, was 14 years ago. That was my first, that was Hugh.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's 2006, okay.
It's a long time.
Can I just say the confidence that you have to have to say no to Hugh Jackman? Like, it worked out eventually, but the fact that
it worked out, but it's why I built a good name in my career.
Right.
It's about integrity, and there's so many coaches out there. But for me, the first thing everyone will tell you is Don's a good coach, but Don's honest, and I never step on anyone's feet. And I don't think it's necessary to have to stab someone in the back. I mean, to this day, I thank every person who's given me some sort of opportunity. I am not self-made. I'm someone that's, had a lot of people in my corner, cheering me on and pushing me in the right direction. I have a team that works around me, and I couldn't be more grateful for them. So,
I mean, well, that's really amazing for me to hear and to see someone like you that has had the successes you've had, because in my, very limited experience in comparison to you, I really kind of am one of the generation of social media, fitness influencers, trainers, and all my interactions have been online with people. Mm-hmm. And I saw kind of, things going on that weren't so ideal. And so I always kind of kept to myself because I was like, yeah, I don't, I want to just be in my own corner and not kind of play those games, And I would see some people that are super successful, but I know behind the scenes that they're also not great people.
Where you stand out, and I really when you guys were gracious enough to ask me to come on, I really kind of did more research because I've always heard your name. So that's a cool thing. I mean, I've always been hearing your name for a long time. The level of authenticity I think you present on your social is hands down why you're successful. So obviously you've got all those other great things going for you, and that's important in the fitness industry. But if you're not authentic, people are smart. I believe you got to be a good person to really be great in this industry.
Right. Yeah. And, so kind of we'll skip over the celebrity and kind of athlete part of your experience really quick. I watched a story about you training a woman named Laura. So just for some context for those of you listening. Mm-hmm. So Laura was, I believe, about 800 pounds at her peak.
872. Yeah.
Wow. And she was able to lose 350 pounds on her own. Oh, and yeah. She pretty much how that happened is that she lost her job. She was not able to really breathe when she would lay down in bed. Mm-hmm. And her mom urged her to go to the emergency room, of course. And thankfully she went, and they said that the left part of her heart was only at 15% capacity
I mean, it's extraordinary. They had to weigh her on a meat scale. She actually started following me on social media through my really good friend and client, Sebastian Stan, who's the Winter Soldier. She started, like, and you know how it is on social. You have certain people that interact with you that you could just tell, like, they're just nice people. And I was constantly seeing her over and over. And I think she got down to about 600 from the 872. And she messages me one day and she's like, I'm stumped. I don't know what to do. And we start kind of going back and forth. And I'm like, Laura, you just won a 15-minute phone call with me. She's like, What do you mean? I'm like, give me your number. I'm calling you up. And I remember calling her up. And because I almost didn't believe it at first. It was like, okay, like, what are we dealing with here? And I'm like, where were you at 872? Send me a pic. Let's see what we're working with here. And then we started getting really familiar, friendly there. And she sent a pic and I was like, okay, she's not lying. And this is all public stuff, by the way. I'm not disclosing anything that's private. But then I said, Laura, listen, I'm going to help you out. And she's like, I can't pay, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Laura, I'm going to help you out. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. Like, I'm going to, if you promise to do everything that I say, and you promise to allow me to communicate with your doctor to get to see if I can have clearance to do what I want to do, then you've got me until we get you below 200 pounds. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, seriously. So we're like 6 years later already. Like, this has been about a five or 6 year journey. I communicate with her probably almost every day through DM or whatever.
Still today?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh,
She just hit 360. She's been very public about it, is that we're struggling a little bit right now because hormonally there's a lot going on in the body, and there's surgeries that are going to have to happen. She's probably carrying around 50 pounds of skin. Right. And so I had her on a call recently with one of my really good friends, Melinda Farina, who's the beauty broker. She kind of specializes in connecting doctors with people who need specific plastic surgeries for, you know, cosmetic purposes, whatever it might be. And I got Laura over there, and we're going to try and start, you know, helping her out with that process of taking it to the next step. But it's not something with Laura. I knew it. This was not a 1 year journey here. We had to teach her how to walk. She didn't know how to walk. Like, we had to reteach her how to do that. Now she's getting a lot of steps, but now she just injured her ankle. But we have a trainer that I communicate with, probably almost, you know, maybe twice a month. I've got a meal delivery service going to her. I Trueform treadmill, send her a treadmill. I have a Perform Better as center, a rower, a battle ropes, whatever we need. So, you know, it's a team effort. Everyone's been really chipping in.
Yeah. Well, when I saw that story, because of course I knew you as like the celebrity trainer and the superhero trainer, you know, and everything. And when I saw that story of like a normal person that, you know, you had interacted with to such an extent, it like warmed my heart. I was like, this is so amazing, because like those are the cases, I think, that like, I don't want to say that there's no case that's more important, but like that's serious, you know, like.
That's what mattered. I mean, we're changing someone's life. I mean, she almost died. And so for me to be able to come in and put my fingerprint on that and help someone out, make that change, it's been amazing. But it's also, listen, I'm a very experienced coach. You're also getting involved in this. And there's not too many people who can say, well, yeah, I know what to do. No, you don't. Like, you haven't worked with anyone who's almost 900 pounds. And it really is along the way. There's things going on with the structure of her body, things in her ankles that are happening, pain that she's starting to, I mean, imagine walking around with 500 or 600 extra pounds on your frame. Yeah, there's a level of discomfort that she goes through every day that we really had to slowly get her out of. And that was something where I always promote consistency over intensity. And it works on every level.
Yeah. There's something that you said that was really interesting, is that you got her permission to talk to her doctor, which, you know, of course, is, especially in her case, super important. But I feel like that is just something that like we should have set up in society, like that we don't, that I feel like is a huge missing piece of when people go to the doctor. And, you know, I mean, doctors are trained to prescribe, you know, medication for the most part, you know, and not knocking at all on what they do. You know, they are amazing, but there's so much that can be done if we were to have more of an integrative approach. Would you agree?
100%. I think people downplay what you and I do. I mean, whether it's in person or whether it's through, social media, whether it's through custom, you know, programming that's online. We are working with how a human being moves. And sometimes there's underlying issues that, how are we going to know? Like, you don't know. I mean, there's things going on internally that we just don't know in reference to other people. So I think there's nothing wrong. And I probably do it daily where I'll turn to someone who's either reaching out to me online or wherever it might be, where I'm saying, no, you need to go get a second opinion. I don't mean to freak you out on this, but it is not my job to turn around and start dealing with pain. I've been working with physical therapists my entire career. I have three of them that work for me at Drive. I know a lot about PT. I am not a physical therapist. It's time to kind of refer out a little bit.
Yeah. And actually, I love that you pointed this out. So for anyone listening, you know, there's a lot of people on social media that are great at what they do in one core, you know, kind of area, but then they try to do everything, you know, and and with like PT work in particular, like personal trainers are not physical therapists. And it's something that, like, in my experience, in my career, being a personal trainer and seeing people on social media come to me for various things, I thought, like, why, like, you need to speak to a doctor, an endocrinologist, or, you know, a physical therapist. So I also brought on a physical therapist and a registered dietitian onto my team. Yeah, because... yeah, it's like, that's their field, you know, like, oh, I'm going to get you going on your workouts, but all these other things that are just as important, you know, that you definitely need to, you know, speak to those experts.
One of my mentors, I think about, I can tell you the year, it was about 2004. It's when I went into my space. I had 15,000 feet in Manhattan. His name's Dr. Greg Rose. He's based out of Oceanside. He's one of the most brilliant chiropractors, medical practitioners I've ever met. And he said, he's like, listen, man, he's like, don't try and be the jack of all trades.
Right.
If you're going to be successful in this industry, surround yourself with a team. And that's why I think our club gained some success early on. Was I was the first person, even though I was kind of the leader of the team, I'd be on the floor and I'd call my PT over. I'd call another coach over. We'd get another set of eyes on someone. And then they realize that, like, oh, wow, this isn't just some, you know, program being ripped off the internet. Like, these people really care and they're really kind of trying to assess what's going on. As you know, fitness, it's so wild. I mean, the body's just changing day in and day out.
Right. Yeah. And as the research too, you know, so there's,
oh my God, you said it.
Yeah. So, can you talk a bit about the Drive clubs and the philosophy behind it?
Yeah. So, you know, we opened back in, 05. It was mainly a golf performance facility. And then we really kind of generally went off into more about creating better athletes. So, you know, I think it was something where the golf fitness back then, it was very like, oh, well, you know, I want to do sports specific. And we believe in creating better athletes. And it was an amazing 15 years. I mean, fortunately for us, it was the best news that could have happened. Our 15-year lease expired in May during COVID, which, I mean, you cannot pick a better timing. So I was able to keep my staff on and I was able to keep my manager working right now and a couple of trainers on working virtually. And we just hit the pause button and we moved our equipment out and we're looking for other space and focus in on digital. And listen, if New York opens up and it becomes a place where we can sign a longer term lease, I'll jump back in. And if not, I'm doing what I love to do right now. So fortunately for me, there's no pressure, but you know, New York has gotten a little, it's gotten a little overwhelming over the last 6-7 months.
Yeah. And what about for you personally and like with your family in this time of COVID?
Yep. Listen, we had, I'm not going to lie to you here. I mean, we did all right. I mean, I've got two children. I've got a 13-year-old daughter and I got a 12-year-old boy. We have two dogs, which I was saying earlier, Sambuca and Rigatoni. We have that in common.
So hold on. We have to pause really quick and talk about this. He has a dog named Rigatoni and his dog is older than mine. So like, he got there before I did. And how did this happen?
It's really cute. So I'm going to tell you. So my wife, we had this vision of buying, we found these dogs called Belonkas. They're these little Russian dogs. And my wife and I lived in the city for years and we wanted like dogs that didn't shed and wanted to just chill. And like we actually Googled all these characteristics on what dog, and I love labs. I love those German shepherds. I love these dogs. Yeah. But in the city, we were like, wow, we don't want to have a big dog because it's a small apartment.
Yeah.
Then we ended up moving out here and we saw this dog called, it was a Belonka and it was absolutely adorable. I wish they were here right now, but they'd be barking if we were on. So I wanted to kind of, you know, protect what we're doing here. But we got them from a breeder and we wanted to name them. One was going to be Sambuca, which was like the Italian liqueur because I'm Italian. And then we had Rigatoni, which was like the dinner. And then we were going to name the third one Zeppoli, which was like the dessert. So, you know, all three Italian dishes. And, you know, we had two and they're our life. And it was just one of those things, you know, like with kids, we're like, all right, we got to draw the line with two. It's just, I think three is too much. But we love them. As you know, they're, you know, your guy Rigatoni's part of your life and he's like a kid too, you know.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing. Yeah. So we got our Rigatoni.
Do you call him Riggs or do you call him Rigatoni?
We call him Rig or Riggy Rig.
Oh, okay. So we call ours Riggs.
Riggs. So okay. Okay. So. Yeah. Or Monster, Angel, you know, there's all these other ones, you know. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, because my husband is Italian. He's born and raised from Rome, Italy. And yeah.
Love him already. Tell him congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were like laying in bed, knew we were going to be getting a golden, and he's a dark golden. And so we were like, what? Like, you know, like red, you know, like he's a reddish, you know, mane, whatever. Spaghetti, marinara, you know, and just like kind of complete jokes though. Like, by the way, I've never told the story about how he picked Rigatoni's name. So this is great.
I'm loving this. Right
And then I said Rigatoni, like spaghetti, like it's cute, but it still is kind of like meh. That didn't really feel like that would fit. It would it would stick. And when I just said Rigatoni and we both were like, oh my gosh. Rigatoni, like that one works.
Oh my god.
So anyways, if I want to get like 12, you know, if I could, like you said, it's, you know, you got to cap it at two. So eventually we are going to get him a friend, and because we just had a baby 6 weeks weeks ago. Aurora, yeah, look at you. Wow. Yes. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Beautiful man. Thanks. And so, you know, he's not getting all the same attention as he was pre-baby. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, okay, we need to get him, you know, a friend. And we want to eventually possibly name that one Canela, which is a cinnamon in Italian.
I love it. Okay, because so we're going with the Italian names also. I love it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So anyways, that's the story.
No, that's awesome. And you're the first person I've ever met who has a dog named Rigatoni. So I feel like we have that bond now. So
likewise.
I love it.
If they could only meet one day, that would be amazing.
We'll set up a date one day when you come. Yeah. I love it.
So anyways, I hijacked the conversation. Where are we going? So about you and your family.
Oh yeah.
COVID.
So I mean, listen, I mean, it's tough to discuss because I recognize what a difficult time it was for people, you know, during COVID. I mean, for us, I mean, fortunately we're in a nice area in Long Island and, you know, we're in a house and we had our family, we had dinners every night and, you know, I had to transition my business, but my wife and I started working together, which was a lot of fun. And our kids had to do homeschooling into summer camp, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, you had your challenges. I think the thing I was most worried about was socially with my kids, because for a period of time, they're on their iPhones too much and they're not really getting activity or you know, or exercising or just walking in the halls from class to class. I mean, I think we take that for granted a little bit. So that was probably, you know, that was the thing that I worried the most about. But as for everything else, I think we were really blessed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Now, another thing that I wanted to address is that you've obviously been in the industry for so long, you know, over two decades, you said 21 years, right? So there have been so many fads that have come and gone, I'm sure, in the time, you know, you've been able to witness them firsthand. Yeah. So do you feel like, because we're now in an age of information where, and like I briefly touched on, research is like, you know, constantly changing. Do you feel like at least those fads are now more, is there some substance in, you know, point to them? Whereas before it was just like, take this pill, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something everyone's always going to want, that like that quick fix, or even, you know, when we talk about what a small percentage supplementation can actually improve to someone.
Yes.
You know, I think sometimes it's more that mental aspect, you know, if someone's diet's you know, to a specific standard and their training and their resting and their digestion is good, and then they want to go take a branched chain amino acid, if it's from a good source, like, go for it. If it's going to really trigger things mentally and really give you that extra push, it's probably that more than anything else. Not saying BCAAs don't work, but, you know, I think as for fads, over the last two decades, you know, I've seen a lot of things come and go, and the good news is that there are a lot of really smart educators out there that I've fortunately been able to be mentored by or be able to listen to. And that, to see that out there and to see all the good, positive information coming about, to me, is so positive. On the other hand, there's things out there that people are claiming are research that's not research. Like, just because it's in the New York Times doesn't mean it's, you know, it's backed or it's researched, you know. And you've been interviewed how many times, or I've been interviewed, and a writer will come to us and ask for our opinion on something, and we'll give our opinion. And it's, you know, no disservice to them, but, you know, are they really going and are they really doing a background check on that? Are they really putting out something that is it fact or is it opinion? So I think what happens is once in a while, we'll get some people turning around and they're putting information out in these publications, and other individuals are reading that information saying, oh, well, that's got to be valid. It's in Men's Health. Not necessarily. It could just be theory. So, you know, and you said it early on, there's so many people now who can just open, you know, an Instagram page and call themselves an expert. To this day, I don't call myself an expert. I call myself a professional, because I just feel like we're in an industry where there's this much to know. And, you know, I feel like I'm always fighting every day to learn as much as possible. But there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but there's also a lot of good stuff going on. And I think at the end of the day, if we can get someone out of there, off their couch, and we can take someone who has, you know, been really struggling to want it. You know what I'm talking about? Someone who's really like, I just can't. Like, I hear the line all the time, Don, I just want to want it. I want to have that hunger. If you're able to take someone off that couch and move them from a sedentary lifestyle to someone who's living a healthier lifestyle, then I think you're doing them a big service. And sometimes I think a lot of coaches kind of nitpick a little bit too much.
I completely agree. And I think that, unfortunately, as much as I love social media for so many reasons, and I'm really grateful to it for giving me a platform to, you know, to spout off about, you know, whatever I'm thinking. Unfortunately, it makes people, you know, they really want those like exciting, quick results. I mean, and hey, this has been going on forever. Just social media is the new medium, right? You know?
Yep.
For me personally, I started my fitness journey just for health reasons. I grew up eating only fast food, you know, loved it, but had a lot of health issues early on, and I decided to change that route. You know, and I started my journey for health reasons, and that's kind of why I wanted to help people. But that's not sexy. You know, like a lot of people, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear like, take care of your health and the results will come after, you know? So how do you get past that with your clients? Because I'm sure people come to you seeing you as the superhero trainer and wanting to get those same results.
Well, listen, I mean, sometimes I'll have Marvel or a specific production company call me and say, we got to get so-and-so ready in a month. And I think I've just become confident enough in my career where I understand that there's only so much we can do with the human body in a certain period of time. But we can do a lot more than we think. One of my favorite post ever. I've been working with Blake Lively for about a decade. I don't even call her my sister. I call her my brother. We just have such a great
relationship. Oh my God. That's great.
She's unbelievable. But she put up a post of me and her. I want to say it was like almost 2 years ago. I was like, oh my God,
I got to be.
Yeah, you think you saw it? I think some of the effect of like her standing next to me and she looked great, but she's like, I got the baby weight off. It only took me 16 months. And or like something to that effect. And it was it was her being honest. It was a refreshing post. Because this was not us, you know, and she'll admit it, working out 6 days a week and her eating perfectly. Like, no, like she'll be the first to admit that she has struggles with eating like anyone else or training, or she's got three beautiful girls now and she's, you know, she has priorities and focuses. So we do what we can when we can. And I think it was a very real thing for her to show people that, you know, we're all in this together. Like, don't think that I'm sitting here and, you know, it's going to happen easy, because it didn't. And did she struggle with it? Sure, she did. But that was what was so refreshing about that post.
Yeah. And an interview that you did, someone asked, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, is like, who is the celebrity that has like the best work ethic, or who is like, you know, goes the hardest in the gym? And I think you said, and I'll let you, you know, go in more detail if you would like, but Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski, you were saying that they are.
They're like, you know, the funny thing about, you know, Ryan is probably the one I've been working with the longest. God, it's got to be 12 years so far. Ryan just got this amazing switch where when it's time to kind of turn it on, he turns it on and he knows what he has to do. He almost needs my help the least, because, you know, we've been working together so much. It's just like, tell me what I have to do and let's go do it. And we can go in a session sometimes. And, you know, I think now virtually when we train together, in between sets, we're just doing like movie trivia. Like, I got my computer up and I'm like, Paul Newman, how many movies? And he's like, and we just like, our entire session is pretty much lifting weights and going through movie trivia and talking about like different actors and stuff. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, everyone's different. Krasinski's a machine. When he gets into it, he loves to go heavy. And
you wouldn't think so. Sorry, no offense, John.
No, he's so much fun, and he is like talk about him and his wife, Emily, have just been, Emily invited me down to, there was the American Institute for Stuttering, because she's a fellow stutterer also. So we went down. It was awesome, because she like hosted this event, and with Arthur Blank of the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, and I think the owner of Home Depot. And she had me and Arthur, Mr. Blank, up on a panel together. And I looked at Arthur and I'm like, how the hell did I get up here with you? Like, the guys are like four or five billion bucks, and here I am, some coach. But it was really refreshing to see everyone out there, and just the doors my friends, my clients have opened for me. It's just, I have so much to be grateful for.
Yeah. Well, and so what you were saying about on this interview I watched, about in regards to who has the best work ethic, that I thought was just such an amazing kind of like just summing it all up, is that it's not about the work ethic. It's that they trust the process and that they know that they're in it for the long haul. And, you know, as exciting as it is to hear about like these celebrities working out and how hard they go, there's only a point at which people can relate, you know, to a celebrity, you know, but that's something that like, no matter who you are, like that still applies, you know, celebrity or not.
I think it's more challenging to train a celebrity than an athlete. I'm going to be honest on this. I mean, most celebrities, when they're working, and it's like, people want to call me celebrity trainer, it's fine, like whatever they want to do, but I think their schedules are more difficult than almost anyone I've ever worked with. Like, you know, Annie Hathaway's in London right now, you know, working, you know, 15-hour days. Like when they work that much and they have to go train either early in the morning or late at night, and they have families to balance out and work, and oh my God, like imagine doing that now for 6 months straight. I mean, that to me is really challenging. If their family's on the road with them, or if they're away from their family, that's another stress on the body. So, you know, I almost have more respect for working with them than almost anyone else, because at least, you know, with athletes, it's a little bit more of a controlled environment. They know what time the game is that day, or they know when they're off season at.
And that's their job.
And then like, and, you know, they can take time off if they need it in the off season. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, like Ryan might get a call and be like, I got to go to so-and-so right now for 3 months. And we're like, okay. And things change, and those stress levels change, and time zones change, and out of nowhere shoots can start going a lot longer, and then we have to really balance out managing that level of stress. Training for me, it's really about it's keeping in people engaged. It's applying a specific stress to their body that is just the right amount. Because if we start working out too much and you have all these other external stresses in your life happening at the same time, you can get sick. Your body can break down. You might start going in the opposite direction of where you really want to be going in. So I really think when you brought up earlier, like, shouldn't we be putting a little bit more into coaches and what their credentials are? And 100%, like they're technically putting their hands on people every day, you know, not literally, but they're turning around and they're putting these people under specific weights, specific loads that could really hurt or damage someone if it's not done properly.
Right. And so do you have a different approach to, let's say, a celebrity needing to prepare for a superhero role versus just kind of an average person that let's say that they have, you know, more than just, oh, I want to feel good. They want aesthetic results.
100%. 100%. And I'd be lying if I told you I didn't, because normally when it's someone getting ready for a role, like they're going to be on the screen and they need to look a specific way shirtless. So I think kind of 80-20 rule gets thrown out the window a little bit. Like if someone's, you know, if someone's coming into me and they're like, I have 3 weeks to prep for so-and-so.
Yeah.
You say to yourself, what can you change in 3 weeks? You know what? If we eliminate cheat meals and we eliminate alcohol and we really start controlling their sleep and we train 6 days a week, you know, you'd be shocked. We can remove a lot of water weight. Like when I prep for the cover of, I was on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, I think in 2018 or 2019, and I had 4.5 weeks to prep. I mean, there's not a lot you can do with the body, but in that period of time, when I went into my dieting and I removed cheat meals and the little bit of, you know, alcohol I have once in a while, I think I lost close to 10 pounds in those 4 weeks.
Wow.
And I just saw my body get tighter and harder and, you know, things will. So I always tell people, if I'm working with, you know, an average everyday Joe, it's more, and they're struggling to want it. I always tell them to take a minimalistic approach and, no, let's get 50% there and let's build on that and let's show you some progress. And then let's slowly get them to want it. And then out of nowhere, the best line I hear is, oh my God, it's happening. And I'm not depriving myself of everything. What's next? And then you're like nodding, like, here we go. Like they're starting to get hooked. And I think that's what it's about. I think a lot of times when people have to dive into this crazy, you know, 14-day fix, 20-day fix, whatever it might be, it's no knock to that. Sometimes that is a great reset for people. But when you're coming in so intensely with someone who's struggled to want it, You know, you could be doing them a disservice long term.
Wow. That's such a great point. And it's even like with Laura's story, you know, you just told her, hey, just start walking.
That was it. We taught her to walk. We didn't even have like an accurate, you know, step tracker. Like we couldn't get a watch around her wrist. Like she had to hold a phone.
Wow.
And she literally was like, it's saying that I'm walking 3,000 steps. You think that's accurate? I'm like, I don't care if it's accurate. We've got a baseline. Yeah. Let's just follow that baseline. The next thing you know, she's like 10,000 steps. But do you think that's accurate? I'm like, I don't care if it's accurate. It's 7,000 more steps than we were walking a year ago.
Right. Yeah, that variable is consistent. You're using the same, you know, methods.
Fantastic.
So.
Yeah, it's
Now, how about in regards to training athletes and celebrities? And right now in quarantine, movies are put on hold. So is that something that you've had any struggles with?
No, because I'm still, you know, I'm still doing some Zoom training. So
there's
a few people right now that I'm working with that have been like really, I've been really close to for years. And it's been great because I've been really backing off the one-on-one coaching over the last several years anyway. So now if I work with, if I do maybe 8 sessions a week, like 8 or 9 hours a week, that's probably about where it is. I mean, in the past when I think there was a 15 year span. I mean, I figured out on paper, I probably have trained close or around 40,000 1 hour sessions in my career. So it's going on 22 years now. So there was a period of time I was doing 40 to 60 a week going in home. And I was a machine and I was taking courses, and it's just, I really dedicated my life to try becoming the best at it. But now to be able to kind of scale back on that, focus on a couple of people, and then really focus on my challenges and my digital product has been so much fun for me.
Yeah. And so is your digital product something that is open to like consumers, or is it just specific clients?
Yeah, no. It is. I mean, when I'm working with Ryan or Blake or Annie or people like that, I mean, yeah, that's a FaceTime call. But, you know, when I'm working with other people, you know, something, you know, things that you're very familiar with, like I host challenges, which have been unbelievable. Yeah. And I've been getting in touch with some great people and really been able to focus on them day in and day out, which has been so much fun for me because I need to coach. So it's my way of being able to continue to coach, as I know you enjoy as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, online programming that you go to donsaladino.com, fun stuff like that. It's been great.
Awesome. Now, I'm curious to know, someone that is such an industry, you know, veteran and such a pillar of the industry.
Thank you.
What do you think of social media and this new age of like trainers and how fitness has kind of evolved through social media?
You know what? It's given us a lot, right? I mean, you speaking firsthand and me speaking firsthand, I got a lot to be thankful on that. But I also understand that, you know, people are living and dying too much by the amount of likes or the amount of views that they're getting day in and day out. And there's just certain things where I have coaches reaching out to me every day and they're like, why am I losing following? I'm like, stick to your game plan. I'm like, if you believe in your game plan and you're changing lives and you're doing the right thing, the following doesn't matter. Like, we're going to gain people. We're going to lose people. It is what it is. But like, do what you do best. And that's coach and change people's lives. And I feel like if you stick with that formula and you keep putting content out for the right reasons, then I think good things are going to happen. But if your mood's going to be dictated by whether your Instagram's growing or not, you're going to be a miserable person because they're just always changing things up with the algorithm, as you know. And it's just, you know, it's that's kind of how I handled it. But social, yeah, I think there's people who are doing an incredible job in it, like yourself. And I think there's other people in it that are just, they're not really being true to themselves. I think they're, I see it a lot now. Young coaches are copying other women or other guys that are doing things. It's obvious. You look at them and I'm like, oh my God, you're being so-and-so or you're being so-and-so. And it's like, you get bummed out over it because there's a level of authenticity, I think, that's part of what makes a great coach.
Right. You know, it's actually funny you say that because I noticed the same thing. I was, you know, looking at someone's stuff and I was like, you are mimicking this person that's super successful. And
I mean, like all that stuff. It's like, come on. It's like, you gotta ease up, you know?
Yeah. And I get the like temptation to do that because if you see something that's working for someone else, you know, like it might work for you, but at the same time, it removes their authenticity. And that's kind of why I've always tried to like stay in my own lane. And I almost don't want to look at other people's stuff because I don't want to be influenced on accident.
It's so smart too. It's so smart. Sometimes it gets, you know, when you're constantly seeing people in your face every day, like it's probably the thing I get reached out to the most about, you know, just everyday people who are looking at so-and-so and they think their life's perfect. I'm like, listen, we all have problems. We all struggle.
Yes.
The kids are going to wake up at 2 a.m. screaming and crying with a nightmare. Something's going to happen. A pandemic's going to hit. God forbid. One of my close buddies passed away 3 weeks ago due to cancer.
No.
It's terrible, but you know, that's life. And those are real problems. And I just think sometimes if we start comparing ourselves too much to other people, that's not what we should, that's not what social media should be about.
Right. So I have a bit of a personal question, if you're okay with me asking this. You said a 13-year-old daughter.
Yes.
So have you had to have any conversations with her regarding social media, or do you limit her social media use?
Yes. Yes. You want me to keep going? Yeah. Listen, I mean, it's funny sometimes. I love her to death. She's upstairs, but you know, her father's been a coach for 21 years, but you know, dad can't give advice on
exercise. My
gosh. So I've really, I think done a good job in backing up and allowing her to kind of spread her wings a little bit. There are things with social media. I think when you're a young kid, influence, you can be easily influenced by things and that gets scary. So, you know, her mom and I, you know, even with my son, we try and limit the amount of time on social. We understand that, like, at a certain time during the day, phones are being hung up. There's just certain things that as parents, I feel like we need to do, but we also have to allow them to make some mistakes. And as a parent, that's part of parenting. But we don't really know what the future is going to hold with this stuff, because this is like the first generation we're going through this. Like my son right now is unbelievable. Like, he does TikTok and how he quickly he edits and all this stuff. And I get such a kick out of it. And he loves to sing and do all this crazy stuff. But like, I'm just hoping that, you know, what level of normalcy is everyone going to have from being so exposed to this in the future? As a parent, to tell you that I don't think about that or I don't worry about that, all I can rely on is me and my wife's parenting skills, and just hope that that we're doing a good enough job, and, you know, teach them when they do something wrong that you don't do that. And that's all we can do right now.
Yeah, it's something that I've always been, I don't want to say hyper aware of, but just like, you know, growing up, I was raised by a single father, and no one ever made comments on my body or my looks or anything. And I just never had any complex, you know, like, about my body. And I've always wondered why. And like, one reason that I've speculated, I'm sure there's an element of nature versus nurture, you know, that goes into it. But, you know, is thinking that just no one made comments, you know, and no one ever like poked at my belly, you know, and things like that. And
that happens now.
It happens.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh my God.
And I think that that's more why I'm like, I find this so fascinating with like people who are in the industry and that have kids, like what their approach is, because now that I have a daughter, even before she came into the world, I was always like, how am I going
to
handle this?
I'm almost hypersensitive to it because I know how I am, and I know the things I enjoy to do are just things that people don't enjoy doing. Like, I love being in the gym, and I love preparing my meals, and I love doing all these things that might seem really tedious. On the other hand, my wife can sit in front of a computer for work for 10 hours, and after 30 minutes, I'm like, I'm exhausted. I need to clear my head for a second. We all have our strengths. But I think my fear is that because of the industry that I'm in and who I am in the industry, that I never want her to be like, my dad's some crazy gym guy. Like, I just want her to feel that sense of normalcy, and I want to promote health and wellness. And when we make hamburgers, yes, it's with grass-fed meat. And when we're eating vegetables, it's organic vegetables. But I'm not going to tell you my kids don't eat ice cream several times a week, or that we don't have chips in the house, or like, there's this level of normalcy that I grew up with that, you know, look, I turned out all right, I think, you know,
I think so.
I also feel like if I push them in one direction and I've kind of force feed something towards them, I feel like that can also be something bad. So it's finding that fine line of like, no, we can't have dessert 7 nights a week, and we can't have ice cream for breakfast. Yes, there's certain things that as a parent you have to do. But on the other hand, it's finding that balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, another question I have is, in this age of COVID, so I've seen the conversation not on a large scale in terms of the media, but just within like more kind of the fitness and, you know, personal trainer groups, of why is no one talking about being in optimal health and how what that does to, I don't want to say prevent you from getting COVID, because I'm not going to say for a minute that eating vegetables or, you know, anything like that is going to prevent you from getting it. But, you know, just that conversation of not being as susceptible to getting sick in general. So outside of the COVID conversation, is this anything that you've thought about or experienced?
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I mean, I've spoken to, I don't know how many doctors have come on my podcast to where it's, you know, they'll all recommend what can we do? And they're like, be healthy, get sleep, stay hydrated. Eat a healthy diet. I mean, we're not saying you're not going to catch COVID, but I think statistically, your chances might be a little bit better. I think that's what they're saying. And I think that's a fair thing to say. So yeah, you know what? I think with society right now, so much has got thrown at us in the last 6-7 months that yes, it's incredibly overwhelming. I've never seen our country go through this. You know, just the fact that we're walking into, you know, grocery stores now with masks on and people have to stand 6 feet away from each other. I mean, the fact that this happened so quickly, think about the amount of time this would have had. If this became like a standard in our world, the amount of time it would have taken people to implement these standards. It would have taken us years, maybe decades to do that. This happened literally within, you know, a week or two. And I think because so much got thrown at us, there's only so many things, so many areas that people can handle and focus
on.
That's true. You know, and that's, I mean, that's my only, you know, probably that's my only answer. I think there's just so much on people's mind and their plates that, you know, it's almost like the last thing that they're referring. Oh, yeah, we know you have to eat healthy. Like what was astonishing to me was how liquor sales went up during this period of time. So this is a time where a lot of my clientele is Wall Street people, right? They're members of my gym. My gym's downtown New York City in Soho. And they would always have the excuse, you know, Don, I have to entertain so much. That's why I have to drink. Like, if I'm not 3 nights a week and I, you know, if I'm not drinking, I'm not going to, you know, the account, it's going to make things weird. I got to have a couple of drinks. That got taken away from them. But liquor sales went up. You know, so now they don't have that excuse anymore. Now, what is the excuse? It's boredom. I also think it comes down to people, I think, recognizing and having a level of responsibility and saying to themselves, all right, like, if I'm going to go out and drink 3-4 nights a week, I can't complain about not being in shape.
Right. Completely.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, it's tough.
Yeah. And so what about for the people that are kind of, you know, we've been in this, what is it, March, now it's September, what is that, 6 months-ish, you know?
Ish.
Yeah. So, right. So, you know, in the beginning, a lot of people, in my experience, from what I saw, is that there was one group that they were like, this is my chance. I have time now. I'm at home. I'm going to work out. But then there are other people that are like, it's too much. Like, I just need to kind of like withdraw and take care of my mental health before anything. But now we're 6 months in and kind of things aren't changing, you know, anytime soon. What do you suggest to the people that are like, okay, now I realize that I need to start kind of incorporating this into my routine?
I'm sure you'll say the same thing. I mean, if you're one of those people who has always wanted it and you just struggle, it's 10 minutes, you know, like break a sweat for 10 minutes. Like, I would almost like I never like using the word prescribe for myself because I'm not a doctor, but like assign the workout, like get them to the point where they're saying, that's it. Like, what about like, I want to keep going though. Like, no, you know what? You've always struggled with keeping going after a week or so. Let's just give you enough to where you're like wanting to continue to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Be active, go for walks, be healthy. They might make better food choices. I just think what happens is like that whole New Year's resolution. We just start out so like gunslinging happy and we're like ready to go. And then within 10 days, people are like, oh my God, like I'm just not happy. I'm miserable. Yeah. So, you know, I think it all comes down to people's goals also. If someone's looking, really, really funny story, really fast. A buddy of mine came to me before COVID and said, I want to see my top 4 abs. I'm like, what? I've never heard anyone say this in my life. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you're holding a lot of muscle, top 4 abs. He goes, I don't even care about the bottom two. I'm just showing you where I want to go. Gosh. I want those top 4. I was like, interesting, weird. So he went through his diet and I just looked at him. I said, cut it in half. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you exercise enough. The desserts, the booze, I want everything in half. I just literally want to cut in half. He goes, really? He came back to me in 2 weeks and we literally started seeing visibility in his top 4 abs. And then he turned to me and he said, what's next? Which is that line, because we gave him enough. It wasn't, we weren't telling him to measure macros and eat chicken, rice, and broccoli and put him on something that wasn't attainable and he was miserable. It was just giving him enough to where he was able to be successful, see progress. When you give people progress, they're done. If you give someone a task and they can see progress with something that's attainable, it's over. You just gain someone new on your team.
Amazing. Well, I have 2 more questions for you. So one, the name of the podcast is Your Best Life with Anna Victoria. And the point of this is that there's no such thing. There's no one best life. We all have different experiences and different priorities of what allows us to live our own best life. But if you were to have to pick one thing or one experience that has allowed you to live your best life, what would that be?
My family. Definitely. I mean, it's my family. It's also my fitness because I need one reinforces the other. If I don't have my fitness, personally, I can't be the dad and the husband I am if I didn't have my family. Nothing else would really matter also. Yeah. So I just think the fact that I can do this with my team, my kids, my two dogs, my wife, to be able, especially now, to be able to see them off to school every day and have dinner with them probably, you know, 6 out of 7 nights a week is just unbelievable. So my best life, I've always been raised about family. I come from this old school Italian work ethic where it's like, yeah, hard work, which has probably got me into some trouble because sometimes you're working too hard and not smart,
right?
You know, yeah. But yeah. It makes me feel good. Those are the things that really I like being busy, and I like building, and I like creating, and I like working my way up.
Beautiful. And my last question, where can everyone find and follow you?
Such a sweetie, thank you. You know, it's really simple. My Instagram's Don Saladino. My website's Don Saladino. You can Google Don Saladino, pretty simple. And, this is fun. I've been hearing your name for a long time. I've been hearing great things about you. Everything is what it was hyped up to be. So congrats on what you've created in your family.
Thank you. That's such an amazing compliment. I really appreciate it. And this was amazing. So great chatting.
Had a great time.
Yeah. And we'll talk next time.
Definitely. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Bye. All right, guys, that was my conversation with Don Saladino. Luca, what did you think?
I mean, I just get really excited. You know, he trains with Deadpool. He trains with the Winter Soldier, obviously.
Wolverine.
For me, it's like, that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say, like, what a nice guy he is. That's really what blew me away more than anything is I think seeing someone that is so successful in the industry that is just such a good person is kind of rare. In my opinion, I don't know. What would you say, Luca?
I mean, you know, he's a fellow Italian. Of course, he's nice.
Oh, true. You guys, his dog being named Rigatoni. So
that is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, you guys didn't hear when we discovered that. It was literally right before we started filming. And he was like, hey, you have a dog named Rigatoni? I do too. And I was like, no way. Like, my mind was blown. I wish that actually would have been on when we were recording. But that, you know, I think that right there, he's Italian. He has a dog named Rigatoni. You know, he's a pretty good guy in our book. But no, really, I could just tell that he, you know, in this 1 hour with him, that he's such a great person. And again, about that story of Laura, who he helped lose over 500 pounds and literally saved her life.
And 6 years after, they're still talking pretty much every day. I think
talks
that's really
every
beautiful.
Day.
Yeah.
That blows me away. And honestly, I can say talking to him inspires me to keep doing what I'm doing. Like, he's someone that I look at what he's doing and he gets me excited again about, like, you know, talking to you girls, like interacting with my community and helping you girls, because I'm not gonna lie, like, as you know, we've grown and as we built the app, that's something that, like, I've gotten almost, like, you know, too sucked into the business side of things sometimes. And I will say, I love the business side. I do consider myself also a businesswoman and
an incredible what woman.
It, oh, just thank a little you. Parenthesis. But, you know, and when I'm working on the business, it's for you girls. It's not me just, you know, like, kind of like in an office now in a corner, you know, doing work. It's literally every day in and day out thinking, what can I do to help you girls? But the reason I do this to begin with is because of the community and because of interacting with you girls and helping you and hearing your stories. And Dawn is someone that, like, excites me to continue doing that and just makes me so grateful to even have the opportunity to do that. So shout out to all my FEG girls and, you know, thank you for making my life, I think, you know, have a lot of purpose and, you know, give me a lot of happiness. So yeah, I feel like I could go on and on and on. Luca, you know this about the FEG community.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. I would love to hear what you think. Join us in the Facebook group or on Instagram and we will talk to you guys next time. Bye. And that is it for this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, I would love for you to share it with a friend, spread the word, and help us grow our tribe. Please rate and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes each week. You can also follow us on Instagram and join our Facebook group, both under the same name, Your Best Life Podcast, to keep the conversation going. You can also send me an email at yourbestlifepodcast@gmail.com and you just might be featured in a future episode. Your Best Life is a Gallery Media Group original production.